To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set.
All right, so I'm going to use this walk-in to kind of tell all of you guys what my experience has been lately with COVID-19 and kind of why we waited for 2 weeks to release an episode. And Kayla so gratefully ended up editing our 109th episode while I was unable to edit, and Corey was not able to edit because 2 weeks, I guess, I don't know how long ago it was, like a week ago. About a week ago. Mm-hmm. I had put in, like, my time in Washington was coming to an end with, like, my contracts there and everything. And so I was originally supposed to end March 31st. And Corey had put in his 2 weeks notice for work to, like, end on March 31st as well. But when he put in his 2 weeks, his employer was like, hey, we're not getting much work right now because of COVID-19, et cetera. Would it be okay if we just let you go now instead of, you know, for the 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. And so Corey was like, well, there's really no reason for us to be here anymore. And I had kind of worked it out with my employer to leave early, but, like, it was just everything came really quickly. Like, everything was happening really fast, which is what has been happening with everything going on with COVID-19, that it's just like there's so much uncertainty. We're like, we don't want to be in Washington for like months upon months because mm-hmm. really we have no idea how
without
long
jobs.
This, like, without jobs, exactly. How long this like quarantining is going to be going on. I didn't really want to be in Washington any longer. So within a matter of like 48 hours, Corey and I made the decision to, I mean, it's just crazy when I look back on it. Like, we made the decision to pack up our entire life in Washington within a 48-hour period and move across the United States in the midst of a pandemic. So because of that, we weren't able to put out episodes. I needed to figure out, like, how my quarantining was going to work. Like, guys, I literally camped in my car. Like, we blew up an air mattress in my car so that we didn't, like, expose anyone or be exposed to anyone else since we were coming from like one of the epicenters of the United States.
I'm sorry, I just have to interject because
yeah,
they got rid of like half of their stuff. They donated half of their stuff so that way they could fit a air mattress in the back of Bethany's little crossover. It's not even, it's, you know, it's not even huge in the back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And warmed up fucking vegetarian, you know, quote, chicken patties using the air vents in her car. You guys, this is what she did. So, you know, to like, I just want everybody to know how safe you were being when you were traveling across the country, because one of the things that you guys really thought about before leaving was, no, we don't want to be stuck here without jobs, without income for who knows how long. But we also really don't want to, you know, potentially carry this to anybody else.
Exactly. That was my biggest fear, was like, how are we going to drive across the entire U.S. And not expose anyone? Like, guys, I literally peed in a cup. Like, I didn't even go into public bathrooms, and we did it like in 3 days, which is by far, we've done this drive multiple times. That is the quickest we've ever done it. And yeah, when we decided to pack up, it was like kind of late, you know, on like an evening of one day. I can't even remember. It all happened so quickly. But I was like, all right, I got to pack up the computer. I got to pack up all the podcasting stuff. I was like, Kayla, I'm so sorry. I can't edit the podcast. I sent you the file and you're like, I'm on it. I got it. And I literally went through all of our belongings and donated about like a fourth to half of our belongings so that we could fit an air mattress in the back of my car, which was crazy. So long story short, guys, I am safe. I am quarantined right now at my sister's house. It was a blessing because we did get to see Kayla and Jordan for a little bit. And like, that was so, so wonderful, since Kansas City was one of those like needed stops before we went into St. Louis area. So there was a lot of wonderful things that like came from it. Corey and I have felt like our marriage is like stronger than ever because of this. Thank you, everyone, for wishing me, you know, luck on my and safety on my drive out. You guys are super incredible, and I'm just very blessed. We're healthy. We hope you all are staying healthy and staying safe. Like, I know that peeing in a cup and camping in my car at a rest stop in Boise, Idaho is like extreme, but I, you know, I'd much rather be extremely cautious than like regret anything along my way. So I hope you guys are all doing the same. I'm sure you are. But anyways, I just wanted to update you guys before we get into this episode.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you are safe and seemingly healthy and, you know, back here in the Midwest in Missouri. We're so close. We're in the same time zone.
We did see each other. It's crazy.
Yeah. We did see each other, and it was amazing. Just, you know, it had been since October. And yeah, so anyways.
Since October, like 6 months. Wow.
God, so long. On that note, for the second time this week, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to this podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast.
That Why means are you that we're laughing? Going
to, I was just laughing because I'm like, it's not going to be an hour.
No.
We'll see. So that means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though. So if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, I understand why there's major thirst for Manager Seijin.
I do too. I really do. Or why am I not surprised that there's armies who make Manager Seijin fan cams?
My God. We really should not be surprised at this point in time, but we are.
One of my favorites, I didn't mention this at all in the research, but one of them like is from a while ago and it's at the airport. And like this army is like literally has a fan cam on him and he looks so confused. Like he notices like the camera is on him and he's like, why?
Why? Well, you're not here for me. So if you're down for that, then you're in the right place because today we are talking about Manager Seijin. But before we get into it, we want to thank you, Iconics, for being here once again and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs, especially like this one today, all of these pictures, we have a bunch of pictures in here, a bunch of links to sweet moments, a bunch of, you know, links to information that we found. There's a lot of stuff here. If you want access to it, just go to our Patreon and donate $1 a month.
Yeah. Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated. We glad you all are here. We're super excited to do this episode. So just for a bit of an overview of what's going on today for this episode, the Manager Seijin episode was as like it was one of the options for a bonus episode, but we saw just how much love that people had for Manager Seijin, which we totally understand why, and that he really deserves his own episode. So we're like, screw it, we are just gonna give him an episode two for this week. I think it's again one of those episodes that's long overdue, but it's just not like one of the really BTS focused episodes. It's kind of like random because it's just like one of their managers, but he is like so prominent in their lives, like from start to finish. So for an overview, we're really going to talk about like the job description of a manager in the K-pop world. And then we're going to get more specifically into Manager Seijin and kind of what his responsibilities are for BTS and how it's kind of evolved from the beginning to now, because he's definitely, I mean, he's like their most well-known manager that we all know about. Then we're going to get into his friendship and like relationship with BTS, because he's definitely more than a manager to every single member of BTS. He's like kind of around their same age, you know, he's been there from the very start. So it's hard not to see the obvious friendship that is there with every single one of them. Then we're going to get into kind of like his role as the manager, but also this like dual role that he has as a bodyguard. Like he really does protect BTS. Like you wouldn't expect like the manager who's keeping track of the schedule to end up being also like a bodyguard who literally is shoving crazy fangirls out of the way. And yeah, so we're gonna go into like specific moments of things like that, specific friendship moments. And then at the very end, we're just gonna talk about something that we just can't avoid, which is how hot he is. Like he's pretty hot. Like there's no denying that. So we're gonna fangirl a little bit about Manager Seijin.
Yeah, just a little bit. Okay, so talking about the job of a manager, specific to a K-pop idol manager, this title is also referred to as a celebrity manager, and this person is responsible for many things and also has to have many qualities and skills to qualify for the position. So obviously in K-pop, a manager would need to speak Korean, need to be incredibly organized, charming and sociable, good at networking, and good at working on low amount of sleep. They also have to have a clean driving record, but they should also be very fast and efficient at driving. Like they need to be able to get those idols in a car and get them from point A to point B on time. Young idols, right? Round them on up. Like, can you imagine like wrestling like 2014 BTS?
Yeah, like Jungkook, especially like the Maknae line of the time. Maknaes. Like they had to have been really difficult to pull out of bed. They still are.
a K-pop manager also needs to be resourceful, punctual, and patient. And those three are probably the most important skills that they should possess. Mm-hmm. So in general, they're in charge of compiling and also confirming schedules for each of the members and the group as a whole. They might be making it, or they might be, you know, distributing that work to other managers. They also coordinate hair and makeup. They can run errands. They might process receipts. The lower level managers do a lot of grunt work and personal assistant work. And obviously the higher in idle management that you get, the, you know, bigger jobs, bigger tasks that you have. Like mm-hmm. you might be, if like Sejin might be managing travel schedules and ticketing or coordinating talk show media things.
Yeah. There's definitely a vast amount of responsibilities for managers. Like, I mean, you go from like hair and coordinating hair and makeup to like running mm-hmm. errands or holding bags at the airport to like actually like working on their scheduling, like maybe even getting venues and stuff. Really, we don't know specifically what Manager Sejin's role is, but these are just kind of like the overall responsibilities that typically come with being a manager in K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
So for Manager Sejin specifically, as far as we can tell, he is kind of like the main point of contact between BTS and the rest of the management and like event coordinators and like interviewers. So mm-hmm. like, I mean, as we'll get into more of the relationship and friendship with Manager Sejin and BTS, but he definitely is like that connection, that little, I don't know what you want to call it, that like just intermediate position.
He's like, he's the go-to point, like the point of contact, I guess.
Yeah, the point of contact between mm-hmm. BTS and the rest of management, for sure. That's definitely a role we see him having. Definitely getting BTS ready to go, especially in the early days. He's definitely always there. He's definitely always at the airport with them, especially in the early days, HYBH era. You see him a lot. Like, you'll see him carrying bags for them, checking to see that they have all the necessary items for like departure. We also believe that he coordinates a lot of the needs for the rest of the management team as well. He's very involved. Like, you know, he's mm-hmm. there a lot. And it's what makes Manager Sejin so special is that, like, we see a lot of, like, BTS, like, big hit staff. But, like, Manager Sejin is, like, always there. He's just always there. Mm-hmm. He is, whether he's, like, holding their bags or protecting them, like, a bodyguard or whatever, whatever it may be, like, or just supporting them. Like, a lot of the times I feel like he's just there to be with them because he enjoys hanging out with them or whatever. Like, he's mm-hmm. he's just always, always there. But lastly, for what he does is, we think he goes a bit outside the job description of a manager and acts as a bodyguard too. We didn't see, like, for the overall skills and things or like responsibilities of managers is to be a bodyguard, but there has definitely been a lot of airport incidents where like Manager Sejin is there acting like a bodyguard. And we'll definitely get more into that as we go, but it's like the fact that he acts as a bodyguard on top of his other like roles of just like carrying their bags and like coordinating schedules and stuff, it's like endearing.
I think it speaks to his
personality and his mm-hmm. yeah like just how he is as a person, that he truly like loves them and wants to protect them and make sure that they are, you know, safe. He just wants to make sure that they're safe.
I think it speaks to his dedication to the job, his dedication to them.
Yeah, I think this is why he truly exceeds as one of their best managers.
Yeah, and why we have this topic to talk about and why we have so many friend-related moments and bodyguard and hot moments to talk about because, mm-hmm. you know, this is just
hot moments.
Who he is. Well, we have, you know, we just have a couple notes about you know, but whatever.
Sorry, guys. This really is a fangirl podcast. Like, we're educational, but we have to talk about how hot he is.
I mean, So yeah, I mean, BTS has not always had the best managers. And so I just think that they have such an incredible manager in manager Sejin that, you know, that's why we notice him so much.
And when we were doing this research, we really came across that BTS has had a fair amount of bad managers. And in K-pop, there has been bad managers within like the different companies, including Big Hit. We came across like at least one manager that had like kind of a threatening hand towards Jungkook. It was, and these are definitely in their older days, like debut, like school love affair type era. So it was a long time ago. And definitely as time has gone on, clearly Big Hit has weeded these people out. But we had like one manager like threaten Jungkook with a hand. We saw one video of Taeyang where like this manager quite literally like hit Taeyang's chest. Like he hit his chest. And it wasn't like a really hard hit, you know, like a punch or like injuring him. But it was still like quite obviously like he's being physical with him. And
yeah, and it was like indignant. And he was staring at Taeyang like, he was staring at Taeyang like, what the fuck are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing? Like, get going, you know, which I'm sure like managers in these situations are under a lot of pressure and stress, but like it was like, whoa, dude, you can't that.
But it's your job that you signed up for, and you have to treat people like human beings, you know?
You need to figure out, exactly. So when he did that, the thing that like for us was so shocking was like, there's a girl in the background. Like she was like one of the Big Hit staff too. And she quite literally covered her mouth, like gasping. Oh my God, gasping that like he had just done that to Taeyang. And Taeyang like didn't get injured or anything from it as far as we know, and like just went on to do whatever. But like clearly there's been bad managers, and there are bad managers out there. And I feel terrible that BTS had to ever come across these types of situations. But the reason we bring this up is that there definitely are managers that BTS have had that haven't been the best and that have treated them poorly. But manager Sejin is definitely one of their best and most competent managers. And I think is one of the most competent, well-known managers in the entire K-pop industry. Like he owns this title. He is the definition of the most perfect manager for K-pop.
Yes, K-pop idols. The most sought after. So let's kind of talk about his relationship with BTS. As you kind of said, like it's really developed over the years, obviously, just with time that they've spent together. They've gotten to work really well together. They've gotten to know each other really well. Something that is just evident in anything that you see between BTS and him is that we always see him act very patiently. And, you know, he's described as being really sweet and kind, and managing seven different people and just being there for their every need and making sure that everything is ready to go for them is a lot, you know? And, but we always just see him being level-headed and just chill and making it happen, getting it done.
Yeah, he's definitely very patient and super sweet and kind. You can see that as time has gone on, like he's spent so much time with them, and like his personality, I think, meshes really well with the rest of the BTS members, that he's become a good friend to them. And how could you not be? He's been with them since Boy in Love, back when School Love Affair was, I mean, even maybe No More Dream, you know, Too Cool for School, but like, from the content that we've seen, definitely he's been there since Boy in Love. And oftentimes he's referred to as the eighth member of BTS. We don't know a lot of personal information about him, and we didn't go seeking for it because Big Hit really tries to protect the rights, as they should, of the Big Hit staff. But based on like kind of his appearance, he has to be kind of in the same age range as BTS, definitely older than the Maknae line. But you know, I think his age has allowed for him to really become such close, good friends with BTS. And there's no denying that.
Right. Like he might be in like his late 20s or early 30s, which isn't that big of a of a age difference with some of the young line. And especially just thinking about how long they've been together, like that camaraderie and that friendship is just going to naturally build over time, which is, yeah, why he's referred to as the eighth member. I want to talk about this letter that he wrote to BTS, and this was shared in Bon Voyage 1 during episode 7. So he wrote this letter, so I'm just going to read this letter to you guys. To Seokjin, Yoongi, Namjoon, Hoseok, Jimin, Taeyong, and Jungkook. Hi guys, it's Seokjin Young. Now that I have the honor of writing a letter to you, I'm not sure what I should write about. We've been together since Boy in Love, and I still remember you looked dazed and happy just by being asked what you wanted to have for lunch. But before I knew it, you've all become stars. I think I can safely say that you became more famous since you have worked with me. Always keep it in mind that you've got this manager Young who brings good luck.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm always grateful to you. I always wanted to say this. I'm not really talkative. I can't say much that I encourage you or make you learn something, and I lack many things. So thank you for following me despite that. I'm so proud seeing you admonishing and defending each other. I think now I have some bigger faith in you. Let's keep working hard just as you do now to make that faith grow stronger between us. I thought I struggle the hardest in the world as I am always stuck with you 24 hours every day, but I recently widened my perspective and I felt that so many people were also working for you guys. Let's try to be grateful and humble. If it's with you, I think the most beautiful moment in my life is yet to come. Let's be even greater. Let's be an even greater team. From Seokjin.
That letter is
that whole,
it's so great to have that letter and that exists, because we don't ever get to hear him talk, you know, we don't ever really get to hear anything that he has to say. So to get this letter in Bon Voyage 1, which, guys, Bon Voyage, it's the best. but like to get this letter, like something that really stood out to me was how he mentioned that he's kind of like a good luck charm to them, almost that he's like this manager who brings them good luck. And I just feel like there's probably some sort of special like inside bond joke or something that goes on with that, with them, that he like brings them luck, which is so sweet and endearing to hear.
I think he just like he makes them happy. And like if you were if your needs are met and if you feel like you're in a good environment, you know, like you're going to thrive. And so maybe he's just really helped BTS get, you know, have what they need to really thrive. Like being like looking dazed and happy by being asked, what do you want for lunch? I mean, who were they dealing with before? Like, so I just think that like he even like is so humble with himself. Like he's like, I lack many things. And clearly to have this position that he has, he must have many skills to have, you know, met the requirements and been hired to work. So I just think that, I don't know, he's great. He's just,
he is great. I feel so very blessed that, and I'm sure Big Hit feels very blessed that they found such an incredible manager for BTS who can quite literally be their friend on top of their, as well as their manager. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel that is such a rare thing to come across, because I hear of a lot of celebrities and superstars that have really difficult times with their managers for multiple reasons. Like you hear a lot of abuse that goes on, but to have manager Seokjin, like clearly there's a special, special bond with him and BTS. And like, all I keep thinking about with this letter is like, imagine how like we are so proud of BTS as ARMY for all of the things that they've succeeded in, and how much they've grown and just like how far they've come and accomplished. Can you imagine? Like we've seen like P-Dog and Supreme Boy and stuff see the progress and the success and like Bang PD. But imagine just how proud manager Seijin is from like these really grubby boys who he was literally pulling out of bed to like be on schedule to now. I mean, it's heartwarming. It's like, I just get all mushy from
it. He must be so proud. He must really feel like a super proud older brother because so much of it is due to him and the work of other managers, just making sure that that everything is in place for them to be successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we're just going to talk about some specific moments where, you know, ARMY picked up on, oh, here is him in public with BTS and they're doing something that's cute. This is friendship. So one of the things that he probably had a hand in arranging was going to the LA Dodgers game with Yoongi.
Yeah.
When BTS were in LA for their concerts, this was something that Yoongi really wanted to do. He wanted to meet a baseball player there. He's a baseball fan. And so they got to go, and there's pictures of them sitting next to each other, just having a great time.
Mm-hmm. I love these photos, guys. Definitely check out our Google Doc on our Patreon, because seriously, like these photos of, I mean, you see Yoongi sitting right next to manager Seijin. Like they're clearly friends and enjoying they're enjoying a baseball game together, and it's so, so cute. And like clearly they're just hanging out and having a fun time outside of the roles of work. Like they're hanging outside of work. Like this is just something they want to do together. Another moment that really just like speaks to their friendship is a moment for manager Seijin, Taeyang, and Hoseok. They're like in a hotel or something, and it has to be like during like one of their tours. I think it was like for maybe the Love Yourself tour. Like Taeyang has blonde hair, J-Hope's wearing like this really cute like brown beanie, but they're hanging out in a hotel and they're playing a video game. And Taeyang, oh my god, I'm sorry guys, I'm just a Taeyang stan, but like Taeyang is in this white robe, and that's all he's wearing, and he's blonde. But like they're playing a video game, and manager said Jin is the one who's playing, and I don't know what they're playing. It looks like a soccer game of some sort. Yeah,
maybe FIFA,
yeah. And he's like sitting, and like he's clearly doing well, and you see J-Hope get up and he's all excited, and like clearly manager Seijin ends up like winning this game or defeats someone or something, and they like fucking go berserk. Like J-Hope is like, of course, like crowing, just so happy, and they're laughing. And you clearly see just how like precious and endearing and loving this friendship is. Like, it's just so, so true. And oh, I just love these types of content that we get of manager Seijin. Like, he's clearly just their friend. You know, he's more than a manager.
I think like it's important that he has these moments with them too. Like this is what helps them work well together, is that he is approachable and he does have fun with them. And that's how they have this trusting relationship.
Yeah. I just have to say one more thing about the thing is like in this GIF, like he's just, or this like little video that we get of it, he's like so calm and cool and collected when he's playing. And you see like Taeyang and J-Hope like already freaking out before he wins it, but he's staying so cool. And then like right as he like wins or scores or does something, he like throws down the remote and like stands up. Like he's excited too.
Yeah.
It's just super cute. Yeah.
He's so into it.
Yes, he really is.
Yeah.
So another moment that is just a super sweet, endearing moment for manager Seijin and Taeyang specifically is like an airport moment where Taeyang is like, he's kind of doing this like bear or like cat clawing action towards manager Seijin. And we don't know too much about manager Seijin's personality based on that original letter that we ended up reading from Bon Voyage. He ends up saying that he's a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved. So this interaction between him and Taeyang is really cute because he's like standing there at the airport, like has his backpack on. He's clearly trying to make sure that they're like all getting everything done in order to take off. And Taeyong is standing next to him, like being super goofy, being super playful. Mm-hmm. And is clearly like trying to like get him out of his shell or just kind of like get him to react to him, basically. And he just kind of like laughs, you know, like he turns away a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like he looks a bit embarrassed or whatever, because Taeyong is being so silly. But it's just...
But it's so cute.
It's so cute. It's such a playful interaction.
Yeah. Definitely one of those like big friendship, I think, like BTS Seokjin interaction moments. Another moment that just really is a testament to how long he's been with them, and maybe a little bit of a bodyguard moment too, was when he went to Jungkook's high school graduation ceremony. There to support him, but also there to protect him from the absolute sea of girls behind Jungkook with their phones. Holy crap. But he's kind of like pulling Jungkook through the crowd as Jungkook happily smiles as he, you know, he just graduated.
So baby Gookie here. Yeah.
Baby.
But wow, for his like high school ceremony, like he's got a ton of girls behind him with cameras out. Like, damn.
Crazy.
Already so popular.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I mean, can you imagine Jungkook going to your high school? Like, fuck.
No. another kind of cute friendship moment was this little tiny video that I found where his manager Seokjin is picking confetti out of Yoongi's hair at an awards show. Like Yoongi was sitting in the row in front of him and he's just like going up there plucking out little pieces of confetti as it falls down. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take this time to say, like, there are so many different pictures or like little fan cam videos or whatever of BTS at major events and manager Seokjin there with them, just kind of like doing things, whatever they need for them, you know, on this red carpet, carrying water, carrying other things, you know, just helping them through, coordinating, you know.
Super sweet things, like picking confetti from Yoongi's hair at an award show. Like, that is not in his job
description.
That
is not necessary.
Like, he's just... Yeah, not necessary. Like, Yoongi doesn't need him to do that, but, like, he is there beside him wanting and willing to do that for him because he's just, it's just, like, so loving and caring and, like, definitely there's such a deep friendship going on between him and all of the members. Mm-hmm. Another moment that I did not know about was that he went to the Ariana concert with Jungkook.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he just, manager Seokjin, just had this role when they were in the United States to kind of like coordinate some of the leisure activities that BTS desired to do while they were in the States, which is like so interesting. Like, you know, like it's going outside of the description of just what BTS is doing for their role in BTS or their role for Big Hit, like something that they want to do for fun outside of BTS, you know. So he apparently went to the Ariana concert with Jungkook, and I'm sure he had a lot of the arrangement that went into that because like Jungkook was like in the freaking front row of this concert. So that is just super interesting that happened. But yeah, a testament to just like the friendship and that like feeling comfortable enough to go and also acting as that kind of dual bodyguard position. Like he's more than just their manager. Like he probably went there in addition to like being able to protect and care for Jungkook at this concert.
Right.
Or like same for Yoongi, being like kind of a bodyguard for Yoongi at the Dodgers game.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads perfectly into our next topic of how he kind of protects BTS and acts like a bodyguard. This is something like, honestly, his role as a bodyguard seems to be more prominent. Well, obviously he's a manager, but like it seems like this is a big job description for him that isn't really a typical job description for a manager mm-hmm. for a lot of other K-pop idols. So we just felt like it really needed to be talked about how he acts like a bodyguard. He really protects them. He's not an official bodyguard for them, but like it's quite evident that he does this. He's often seen blocking the view of BTS in public at airports. Like there's a lot of sasaengs that are at airports that he is quite legitimately shoved out of the way. Mm-hmm. There are innumerable amounts of airport moments for manager Sejin mm-hmm. and definitely a lot of airport responsibilities that have kind of changed from then and now, but like he's consistently there. I mean, Big Hit often like blurs a lot of faces for Big Hit staff, mm-hmm. but like manager Sejin, we almost kind of laugh when they do blur his face because it's like, we know who that is.
Come on.
So I think a lot of times they don't really blur his face, but they occasionally
I mean, I feel like they shouldn't. I feel like people should know who he is because, you know, they're not going to fuck with him. Like if there's, no. you know, people trying to get around BTS, you know, they should know like, hey, this dude is here. He's in the way.
Maybe I'm speaking prematurely here because we'll get into how attractive manager Sejin is, but I think a big part of why he's dueled as a bodyguard is because like he is big.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, tall. Let's just talk he's about a it big now. Dude. Yeah,
like, okay, let's do
he
it.
He is. He's. I mean, we've talked a little bit here and there in this episode, like he's hot. Like, yeah, okay, it's a given. But like,
you all know,
you've seen him, but he's a very tall man and he's yeah. kind of thick, you know, like, and
he's thick.
So he like, I mean, he has a really nice physique, but he's just tall and big. And he, even like Jin is shorter than him.
Taller than Jin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's a big dude. Definitely has meat on his bones. Like he could take on someone. Like I think that is why he duels as a bodyguard, because he mm-hmm. has that height and strength going for him.
Right.
This is totally me just being a fan and just like theorizing here. There's no evidence of this at all. But like I really think that he started as a manager, but like his relationship and friendship with BTS has grown so much that when he's at the airport and stuff, that he's just like out of the kindness of his heart wanted to protect them and therefore has taken on this body role position on
like
top of everything
else.
Like
he's just acting on, you know, just duty. Like he just feels that duty towards them and that like, mm-hmm. you know, responsibility towards them, that protectiveness. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So we're going to talk about specific moments where he's acted as a bodyguard for BTS. So there's a very specific incident that both Kayla and I were like, whoa, we've never seen this before. If you check out our Google Doc, there's definitely some footage of it for you guys to see it. Mm-hmm. There's specific footage from an airport in Taipei where manager Sejin literally shoves a girl so hard to remove her from like getting real close to Yoongi. Like he like fucking shoulder pushes at her. Like his whole body shoves her out of the way.
Aggressively back into
yes,
a crowd
like, and
too.
He's very successful in doing it. Like she's removed and it's like, wow. Okay. Yeah. He is quite literally a bodyguard for BTS.
Yeah.
You see him in multiple photos on multiple occasions for every single BTS member holding like their arm or their hands or something where he's kind of guiding them through crowds or guiding them through their like very direct, discreet pathway that leads mm-hmm. them to where they need to go. There's one photo of him holding Jin's arm specifically that like, it's like a little couple-y, like it's really cute. Like he's holding on the inner side of Jin's arm, just like guiding him through and he's smiling and Jin has a face mask on, but like you just like, it looks cute and it's adorable mm-hmm. and like it's pretty protective.
Yeah. Or there's this one moment that I like of him kind of guiding Jimin at the airport. He just has his arm down and Jimin is just kind of holding onto his arm. But what's mm-hmm. interesting about this is that Jimin is wearing that one of those bucket hats where mm-hmm. it goes all the way down over his eyes. He's also wearing a face mask. So his whole face is covered. And because manager Sejin is there, Jimin is able to just walk with his head down and not be, mm-hmm. you know, really exposed to cameras. So mm-hmm. amazing bodyguard.
Yeah, he really yeah. is. This was a hard toss up between whether it was friendship or bodyguard, but we put it under bodyguard because it's because of the safety and health of Jungkook. When Jungkook got injured, he injured his ankle during the Love Yourself tour. And I think it was during the European leg of their tour. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they were somewhere in Europe when this happened. And there was footage from like Bring the Soul or Burn the Sage or something where manager Sejin quite literally gives him a piggyback ride mm-hmm. So that Jungkook did not have to walk on his ankle. And it's so cute and it's so sweet to see this footage because Jungkook looks like he's having a blast, you know, like he loves that he's like getting a piggyback ride from manager Sejin at this moment. And it's so, so sweet. And like, you can tell that he just did it out of the kindness of his heart. Like he's mm-hmm. not doing it because it's in his job description. Nowhere
they
does
could
it say,
have,
like,
you know, they could have wheeled up a wheelchair from the hotel lobby, but no, he's like, all right, I'm going to piggyback you down. We're going to drive you, you know?
Yeah. Like I'm quite literally going to carry you on my back, yeah. To make sure that you're okay. And
the dedication
he's, man, like, I'm so glad that he's getting his own episode here mm-hmm. because he really does love and protect and care for BTS from day one till now and like for infinity. Like, you can tell that he's 100% dedicated to every single one of them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we kind of addressed it, but just to slide this in there, obviously a lot of people thirst after manager Sejin as well. We can all appreciate how incredible after. He is as a, they do thirst after him. We are thirsty for him, you know, like, like there's a lot of incredible moments that he's been there for them and that he supported them through and guided them through and helped them get to mm-hmm. that moment. But it's also a fact that, he's pretty hot.
He is hot. We found multiple stan Twitter accounts, but we went to give a specific Twitter account a shout out. It's at Sejin Satellite on Twitter. They have so many tweets about manager Sejin, but like the whole account is dedicated to him. So if you are wanting some thirsty, thirsty tweets about him, definitely check out
account. Great. Mm-hmm. It's just so great that like this exists. Like this is really what ARMY is. Like we're crazy, but yeah. This is so incredible. Like it's like even the Twitter handle Sejin Satellite, like really, like that's like, you know,
yeah. What we would say about BTS says, thank you for always being there for Bangtan. You are really the best manager in the world, which truthfully he is the best manager in the world. But it's it's such a great account because you get to see so many BTS manager Sejin interactions. He is really hot. I think something that makes him attractive is that he's like, he's big and like a tall dude and he protects like our boys, but also he has such a cute, cute face. Like he's not, mm-hmm. his face is like approachable and he looks very kind and sweet, which I'm sure he is. But like yeah. on top of this like massive body build, it's like, damn.
Right. Like he does look very kind and sweet and he is really cute and he's not like Jimin. He's not unapproachable. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give off that vibe. But
he looks like your ordinary yeah. folk. Like, you know, just like
yeah. He looks like a regular dude.
And he always is wearing yeah. these really cute glasses. you know? Mm-hmm. So like the glasses make him look so sweet too.
Well, clearly we just love Manager Sejin, and we're glad that, you know, voting on bonus episode topics led us to just doing this one as a regular episode, mm-hmm. because
we needed it.
We should. How have we not talked about this yet?
We did so much Map of the Soul 7 stuff. Like, it is such a breath of fresh air to talk about, like, two totally not MOT 7 related topics. Mm-hmm. MOT.
Oh, man. I'm still not a fan of this acronym, MOT. MOT 7.
But Map of the Soul is so long.
I know. All right, guys. So, if you enjoyed that episode, or if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. Reach out to us on social media or email us, or of course, write a review on iTunes. That's how you got the bonus episode this week. Write a review on any platform that you listen on. Really, writing a review on iTunes, it only takes a couple minutes. Log into your iTunes account. Do it. Like, it's super simple, super straightforward. It means a lot to us. Whenever we read through the reviews, it's just like, wow. It's the reason why we do this podcast, is just knowing that you guys enjoy it and, you know, mm-hmm. getting that feedback from you guys. So, of course, as always, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.